All right, so when you're thinking about buying a place, right? Like you're picturing your dream home, or maybe you've got this great piece of land and you're thinking about all the cool stuff you could build on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's got those visions, right?
Exactly. And for you all as future lawyers, this is something to really think about. What if you buy a place based on those plans and then bam, something totally unexpected comes out of nowhere and throws everything off?
That's a really fundamental issue, and it touches on some really important aspects of property law and how we deal with those situations where what you thought you were getting isn't quite the reality.
And that's exactly where today's deep dive comes in.
Yeah.
We're going to explore a fascinating legal concept that's unique to Louisiana. It's called redhibition.
Yeah, redhibition. It's a really interesting concept, especially when we're talking about real estate. It really highlights the specific responsibilities and protections that exist for both the buyer and the seller in a property transaction.
Okay, so we're talking Louisiana law, we're talking real estate transactions, and this concept of redhibition. What exactly is it?
So at its heart, redhibition, as it's defined in the Louisiana Civil Code, gives a buyer the right to either completely undo a sale or, to get a reduction in the price they paid if the property they bought has what are known as latent defects.
Latent defects. Okay, so I'm already sensing that this is going to get a little bit tricky.
You're right about that. The term latent is really important here. We're talking about flaws in the property that were there when the sale happened, but they weren't, obvious or known to the buyer at the time. And importantly, these defects have to be pretty significant. We're talking about issues that would make the property basically useless for what the buyer intended, or at least so inconvenient that they probably wouldn't have bought it if they knew about the problem in the first place.
Okay, so these are like hidden issues that really mess with your ability to use the property the way you planned. And latent means they're not just like, little scratch on the floorboards or something.
Exactly. It's got to be more substantial than that. Think about it, like hidden structural damage. Maybe there's a crack in the foundation that's been covered up, or a persistent leak in the roof that wasn't noticeable during a routine inspection. These are the kinds of tangible issues that redhibition is generally meant to address.
So it sounds like we're not talking about just aesthetic issues, but things that really affect the functionality of the property.
That's a great way to put it. It's about those core elements that impact the property's usability.
And you mentioned earlier that Louisiana's legal system is a bit different from many other states, right?
Yeah.
How does that play into how property law and this concept of redhibition are structured?
That's a really insightful question and something that's super important for all of you aspiring legal eagles to grasp. You see, Louisiana operates under what's called a civil law system, and that's a different legal tradition than the common law system that you might be more used to from other states.
So how does that difference actually manifest when we're talking about something like redhibition?
Well, this civil law foundation, it really shapes how property law and concepts like redhibition are approached in Louisiana. So, in many common law states, there's this thing called an implied warranty of habitability, which essentially means that a property has to be fit for someone to live in.
Right. That makes sense. It should be basically livable.
Exactly. And while that concept has some overlap with the idea behind redhibition, Louisiana's approach hones in more specifically on those concealed flaws that existed at the time of the sale. So it's a bit more focused.
So it's about those hidden problems that were already there waiting to surprise the unsuspecting buyer.
Precisely. And that brings us to a case that really highlights these principles, the case of Downs v. Hammett Properties, a case that really digs into the nitty-gritty of redhibition in Louisiana.
Okay, so let's get into the specifics of that case. What actually went down in Downs v. Hammett Properties?
This case, it revolved around Shirley Downs, who purchased a piece of land from Hammett Properties back in 2001. We're talking about a decent-sized plot, almost 4 acres.
So she buys this land, and what did she have in mind for it?
Her plan was crystal clear, and she actually claimed that she discussed it directly with Timothy Hammett, the guy who was the president of Hammett Properties. She wanted to subdivide this larger piece of land into 4 smaller lots so she could build homes for herself and her family.
Okay, so a pretty classic development plan. She's got this vision of turning this land into a little family compound or something.
Yeah, exactly. That was her goal. But there's a major snag.
And what was that? What happened that threw a wrench into her plans?
Well, she completed the purchase, traded in her previous house and signed a promissory note for the land. And then she found out about this crucial piece of information. And it turns out there was a Wachita Parish Ordinance in place.
Okay, hold on. An ordinance, what does that mean exactly?
Basically, it's a local law specific to that area of Louisiana. And this particular ordinance required a minimum lot size of 1.25 acres for any subdivision.
Ah, I see the problem now.
Yeah, given that her land was just under 4 acres, this local law made her plan to create 4 separate lots completely impossible.
Wow, talk about bad timing. So she buys this land thinking she can split it up, and then boom, this local rule said, nope, not gonna happen.
Exactly. It was a major setback for her. Imagine investing in a property with a specific vision and then discovering you're legally blocked from realizing it.
So what did she do? She must have been pretty upset, understandably. So, did she just accept it or did she fight back?
Well, as you might imagine, she wasn't too thrilled about this unexpected obstacle, so she took action. She decided to sue Hammett Properties. And Mr. Hammett himself, her argument was that they knew about this parish ordinance that restricted subdivision, but they didn't tell her about it before she bought the property.
So essentially, she's saying, you guys knew about this rule and you should have told me.
Exactly. That was her claim. And she argued that this failure to disclose the ordinance amounted to a redhibitory defect. Remember those hidden flaws we talked about? She was claiming this fell into that category.
Interesting. So she's trying to use this concept of redhibition to say, hey, you sold me this land with this hidden problem that makes it unusable for what I intended.
That was her legal strategy. But then the question becomes, how did the courts view her argument? Was this hidden ordinance considered a latent defect under the law?
Right, because that's the crux of the matter. Did the court agree with her interpretation of redhibition?
Well, the trial court actually made a pretty quick decision. They dismissed her case early on in the proceedings.
Wow. They didn't even let it go to a full trial.
Not in this instance. Their reasoning was that this Wachita Parish Ordinance was a matter of public record. It was out there for anyone to see.
So basically, their view was, it's not a secret. You could have found this information yourself.
Exactly. And because this information was legally accessible to everyone, the court concluded that a redhibition claim wouldn't fly in this case. They essentially said it was the buyer's responsibility to be aware of these kinds of publicly available regulations.
So they're saying that redhibition doesn't cover things that are part of the public record, even if the buyer wasn't specifically aware of them.
That's how they interpreted it in this case. And this is where you can see that Louisiana law draws a line between a problem with the land itself and a rule about how you can use it, they're treated differently.
So even if this ordinance effectively made the land unusable for her intended purpose, the court said, tough luck, you should have done your research.
It might seem a bit harsh, but that was their stance. And it really highlights the importance of due diligence in real estate transactions. So she appealed the decision, right? What happened when the case went up to the next level? Yep, she wasn't giving up just yet. She took the case to the Louisiana Court of Appeal, hoping for a different outcome.
And did they overturn the trial court's decision?
Actually, no, the appellate court ended up agreeing with the trial court's decision. They basically upheld the dismissal of her case.
So they also said that this ordinance wasn't a hidden defect that would trigger redhibition.
That's right. They doubled down on that idea. And in their ruling, they really hammered home the point that buyers have a duty to do their homework. They have to investigate public records that could potentially impact the property they're thinking of buying.
Now, again, it comes back to buyer beware.
Yeah, it emphasizes the idea that you can't just rely on what the seller tells you or what you see on the surface. You've got to dig deeper.
And this is where that public record doctrine you mentioned comes into play, right? Could you break that down for us? What exactly is that doctrine all about?
Okay, so the public record doctrine, it's a legal principle that essentially assumes people are aware of information that's readily available to the public. It's kind of like saying ignorance of the law is no excuse.
So it shifts the responsibility onto the individual to be in the know about these things.
Exactly. And the appellate court, they leaned on this doctrine in their decision. They said that buyers are generally expected to investigate and be aware of things like ordinances, zoning laws, and other regulations that could have an impact on how they can use a property. So you can't just plead ignorance and say, oh, I didn't know about that rule, if it's something that's publicly available.
Right, that's the general idea. And
Yeah.
since these rules are usually documented and accessible to the public, the court reasoned that sellers shouldn't be held liable under redhibition just because they didn't spell out every single regulation to the buyer. It's considered the buyer's job to do their due diligence.
So essentially, it's like the legal system is saying, look, we've got these rules in place.
Yeah.
They're out there for everyone to see. It's up to you to find them and understand them before you buy a property.
That's a good way to summarize it. And the court in this case, they felt that forcing sellers to disclose every single public regulation that could potentially impact a property would be way too burdensome, and it wouldn't really be fair to them either, you know?
It would be like making them anticipate every single possible use a buyer might have in mind.
Yeah, it would be an unreasonable expectation.
Yeah.
So Louisiana law really puts the onus on the buyer to be proactive in uncovering information, not just about the property's physical condition, but also about the rules that govern it. It makes sense in a way. It's about promoting transparency and fairness in these transactions.
Absolutely. It's about ensuring that everyone has access to the same information and that no one's left in the dark intentionally or unintentionally.
So in this particular case, the court ultimately sided with Hammett Properties, saying that this ordinance wasn't a hidden defect in the property itself.
Right. They drew a clear distinction there. They said it wasn't a flaw with the land, but rather a rule about how the land could be used. And since that rule was part of the public record, they said redhibition didn't apply.
Okay, so that brings us to a crucial point that this case really drives home. The court made a very clear distinction between two types of issues you might encounter with a property. They talked about physical defects and then legal restrictions.
Yeah, that's a really important takeaway and something that all of you future legal minds should pay close attention to. So physical defects, those are problems with the actual tangible condition of the property or any structures on it.
So we're talking about things you can see and touch, like that cracked foundation or the leaky roof.
Exactly. Those are physical problems that directly affect the property itself. And then on the other side, you've got legal restrictions. Yeah. These are rules, limitations, laws that dictate how you can use the property.
And the court was very clear that redhibition in Louisiana is primarily concerned with those tangible physical flaws.
Right. Absolutely. They basically said redhibition is about the property itself, not the legal framework surrounding it.
And they even used some pretty specific language to highlight that distinction.
Yeah, they did. They explicitly stated that an ordinance restricting subdivision is not a defect in the thing sold. It's a restriction on use.
So that really emphasizes their point that this ordinance wasn't seen as a problem with the land itself, but with the rules governing its use.
Right. And to further clarify their point, they went on to say that defects are physical imperfections lacking a necessary component or quality. So they're really drawing a bright line between those two categories.
Okay. So the court's message is clear. Redhibition is meant to address those hidden physical issues, not legal limitations on how you can use the property, especially if those limitations are spelled out in public records.
That's the key takeaway, and it really underscores the importance of understanding the specific scope of legal claims.
Right. You can't just throw any problem into the redhibition bucket. It's got to fit those specific criteria that the law lays out.
Exactly. And that's why it's so crucial for future lawyers to really understand the nuances of legal concepts like this.
Now, one thing that struck me as we were going through this case was that Mrs. Downs, her lawsuit was specifically framed as a redhibition claim. Mm-hmm. Was there any discussion in the court's decisions about other legal arguments she might have had?
That's a sharp observation. You know, the court did acknowledge that Downs' lawsuit was very narrowly focused on redhibition.
So she could have potentially approached this from a different legal angle.
It's possible. For example, she didn't argue that she had explicitly relied on Mr. Hammett's expertise or assurances about whether her subdivision plan would work or not, you know?
Ah, so if she had said, hey, I specifically asked if I could subdivide this land, and they said yes, that might have changed things.
Potentially, yeah. If she had claimed that she directly inquired about the subdivision possibility and had been given incorrect information, that could have opened up a different legal pathway.
So it would have been a whole different ballgame, legally speaking.
It might have. Yeah, there are other legal theories like negligent misrepresentation, where someone gives inaccurate information that another person reasonably relies on to their detriment.
And that reliance has to lead to some kind of harm or loss.
Right.
Exactly. And there's also the possibility of fraud if there was evidence that Hammett Properties intentionally misrepresented the zoning restrictions, knowing full well that subdivision wasn't allowed.
So there are other legal tools in the toolbox, but it all depends on the specific facts of the case and the legal arguments that are presented.
That's a great way to put it. The way you frame your legal claim can make all the difference. And in this case, Mrs. Downs stuck with redhibition, which ultimately didn't pan out.
Right. And this case really highlights the specific and maybe somewhat limited scope of redhibition in Louisiana real estate, right?
It definitely does. Downs v. Hammett Properties serves as a clear illustration that redhibition in Louisiana, it's mainly a legal remedy for those hidden physical problems with the property, not so much for legal limitations on how you can use that property, especially if those limitations are clearly spelled out in public records that are accessible to everyone.
So it really boils down to know what you're buying both physically and legally.
Absolutely. It's about being informed and doing your homework.
And what about that prudent buyer standard you mentioned earlier? Can you explain that a bit more? How does that factor into all of this?
Ah, yes. The prudent buyer standard, that's another key concept in Louisiana real estate law. Essentially, it means that buyers are expected to act reasonably and carefully when they're inspecting a property, and that includes looking into relevant public records.
So it's not enough to just walk through the house and check if the faucets work.
Nope. A prudent buyer is expected to go beyond that surface level. They should be asking questions, digging into the details, and making sure they understand all the factors that could impact their ownership and use of the property.
So it really puts the responsibility on the buyer to be thorough.
Yeah, Louisiana law places a high value on due diligence, and the prudent buyer standard really reflects that.
So what's the big takeaway here for all those future lawyers listening? What's the key message they should walk away with from this case?
I think the most important takeaway is this, and Louisiana real estate transactions, buyer beware is a real thing, and it especially applies to your obligation to check public records, you know? Understanding that clear legal difference between a physical defect that's inherent in the property itself and a legal restriction on how you can use it, that distinction is super important when you're trying to figure out if a redhibition claim might be valid.
So for anyone out there who's thinking about a career in real estate law, or just anyone who might be buying property in Louisiana, mm-hmm. What's the most practical advice you can give them based on what we've discussed today?
My top piece of advice would be this: always, always, always advise your clients, or if you're buying property yourself, make sure you talk to a good title attorney before you sign anything. Make sure you do that before you finalize any purchase agreement.
So don't skip that step, even if it seems like a hassle.
Don't skip it. It's crucial. A thorough title examination is going to uncover things like zoning ordinances, servitudes, any weird restrictions that are buried in the public records that could really mess with your plans down the line.
It's all about protecting yourself and your clients from those unexpected surprises.
Right, and investing in that due diligence up front, it might seem like an extra step, but it can save you a ton of heartache, legal battles, and financial losses in the long run.
So a little prevention goes a long way.
Absolutely. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, as they say.
And that brings us to our final thought for today. Something for everyone to chew on as they continue their legal journey. So we've talked a lot about this public record doctrine and how it puts the responsibility on the buyer to investigate. But it begs a question, you know, given this emphasis on the buyer's duty to do their homework, what ethical responsibilities, if any, do sellers in Louisiana have to proactively disclose potentially impactful land use restrictions to buyers, even if those restrictions are technically part of the public record?
Yeah, that's a great question to ponder. It really gets at the heart of ethical considerations in legal practice.
Right. Is there a moral or professional obligation that goes beyond just the letter of the law? Is there a duty to ensure fairness and transparency, even if it's not explicitly spelled out in a legal statute?
It's something to think about for sure. You know, where does the line between buyer beware and ethical conduct lie?
Right. And that's something for all of you to grapple with as you move forward in your legal careers. Food for thought as you navigate the complexities of the legal world.
Exactly. These are the kinds of questions that make the law so fascinating and challenging.
Well, on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.